Blog Talk Radio.
Satellite Guys Radio presents another edition of Satellite Nation with your hosts, Michael and Dave. We look forward to taking your calls. Do you have a comment for the show? Or maybe you have a question for us? If so, we look forward to your call at 877-SAT-GUYS. That is 877-728-4897. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Dave.
This is Michael, and thank everybody for tuning in tonight for another edition of Satellite Nation. This is our 10th episode. This is Wednesday, May the 29th at 8 o'clock. Here it is again, Eastern Time, as we always do every week. Except for next week, there'll be an exception because of scheduling conflict. We'll be here Friday night next week, but that'll just be a one-time shot thing for now. But anyway, there's Dave.
So Michael had a scheduling conflict, so we had to move it to Friday.
Yeah.
We're full disclosure, right? I'm just kidding. So what's going on?
Oh, not a whole lot. Same old, same old.
Yeah. So we're going to actually do some trivia tonight on the show.
Yeah.
Here in just a little bit.
Do some trivia. I don't really have a guest tonight. We have one that might call in. We'll see if he does. I don't know.
Yeah, so did you see anything interesting in satellite-related stuff this past week?
One thing strikes me right off hand is Dish Network, or now Dish, Capital Dish, I guess they want to be called, have added the social media app to their Hopper.
Yeah.
I don't have a Hopper, so maybe you played with it. I've not. But.
No, I don't even have my Hopper hooked up to the Internet, actually. But so apparently, I haven't checked it out, but you can get on Twitter. Is that the deal? And Facebook, or just Twitter? Or?
Yeah, Twitter and Facebook. They might be something else you can get on, and you can talk amongst yourselves, or you can post things about what show you're watching, what you like and don't like about it, and kind of get a database going there. And live,
you know,
it's happening.
I just thought of something funny, or I don't know, but interesting. If your spouse, you thought they were cheating, and you let them use Facebook, you'd make them use it on the Hopper. So if you're paranoid, you could see what they were doing, I guess. I'm just
kidding.
But do you really
want to
use that on your TV?
They what now?
Do you really want to use Facebook or Twitter on your TV?
You'd probably be surprised how many people would. I wouldn't, but people would.
Really?
It takes all kinds.
I mean, usually when I'm watching TV, there's usually more than one person. And I don't think people really want to watch somebody use Twitter or Facebook, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, you're not using it for your personal thing. It's supposed to be, you know, send tweets and little Facebook snippets about, you know, what show you're watching and what you like or don't like about it and things like that. That's what I'm gathering anyway. I mean, I ain't played with it, but.
I gotcha. Just seems like to pick up your smartphone and type it in there is way more easier than trying to use a remote control.
That's exactly what I was thinking. You guys use a remote control, try to tap in something.
I haven't tried it, so I shouldn't knock it, but I don't know. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, and they never did come up with a good keyboard solution for the Hopper yet, did they?
You know, I don't know. I thought they had one maybe that was for the 922 that they never released or something that had a full keyboard. It'd be nice if you could just plug a USB keyboard into it or a wireless one and then just roll out like that. That what I think would be the way to go, but I don't know. So moving on past the new social app for the Dish Hopper, we got some trivia coming up, and I pulled it out of a book from 1991. So,
1991.
Yeah, the technical editor of Satellite TV Week from Inside Satellite TV is the book. So we were talking about it before the show, and we still think it relates today. You know, other than the social app, Michael, did you see anything also interesting? I saw something, speaking of, it's not really satellite related, but Apple is going to a different supplier, utilizing a different supplier too. And I think it's really interesting that Dish is selling or giving away the iPad. That almost just seems like it's opening it up for an iPhone that will do Dish's. That's what I think, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It just seems like that.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see, because that's the cool thing with tech, is there's always new stuff coming out.
Always something new, always something different.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, have you been watching any of these videos that Bob Cooper has been posting up to YouTube?
I got to see a couple of them. I ain't got to see all of them yet. I've been so busy with this, that, or the other. You know, family man is. I got some irons in the fire, but I've got to watch a couple of them, and I'm glad he's released them out there and put them on there so we can watch those. I like watching them.
Oh, heck yeah. Like, I wish it was video instead of, because a lot of them, the ones I've watched were music with like pictures. But hopefully he'll just release the videos of the ones that he was selling on the website that he told me in an email one time that were slow movers. So maybe he'll just give that stuff away for free too.
Right.
I love that stuff. I can't get enough of it.
So. What, we need, are you in front of the control panel? We also, you know, anybody wants to call and question, comment, or anything about anything we talk about, I want to bring up a new topic, feel free to do so. Or
phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUY or 877-728-4897.
The volume is a little bit too high.
Oh, is it really? It's below the red mark.
It's over over 68, just a hair. But
well, we can take care of that right there.
Yeah, just bump it down one notch. Try it again. Let me hear it.
One more notch, all right.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUY or 877-728-4897.
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Give us a call. What's on your mind? It doesn't matter if it's satellite or tech-related, whatever, amateur radio, whatever.
Yep, anything technology, we'll discuss it. We ain't just, that's another thing I was going to say. There's a lot of people, I've got PMs and emails and things, and people think we're just free-to-air only. That's not true. We, you know, free-to-air, Dish Network, Direct TV, anything satellite-related, over-the-air, IPTV, cell phones, you know, just whatever kind of related towards, you know, the television, you know, because you watch television on your phones now, you know. But anything kind of related into that area, you know, we kind of try to cover, and we'll talk about any of it. And so, Dave, what are we giving away tonight if somebody gets a trivia question?
I don't know. That's a good question. I guess we'll figure it out if someone actually calls in with the answer to the trivia question, which really isn't all that hard, I don't think. The first one I asked, I think, was just off the wall, just crazy, that no one would find. And I didn't even name the book name, so I don't think that was really fair, but I don't know.
You gotta make it hard. You gotta make it so they can't Google it real easy, for one thing.
Yeah, you gotta be a satellite geek or someone that likes books. I don't like books, but I buy old satellite books, so, you know, for a few dollars. So I've been playing around with a one of these USB DVB-S2 boxes that you can use with a TS reader. And, man, I love that program. That program is just so, so nice. Have you ever played around with TS reader?
I've not personally, no. And I've messed with something that's been a long time, and I need to get another either PC card or a USB or something.
And yeah, I mean, it's just to be able to see that stuff is just awesome.
Yeah,
and,
so I can get my hands on it, plus be able to, you know, talk about it without going, I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I know what you're talking about, but I know the basis behind it.
Well, and I still haven't sent my MAC address off to Rabbit Ears about my box that I'm going to put here in Louisville to update on his site, which is pretty cool, where it does it automatically, and I guess you run a program and it updates it right to his database.
All right.
So what do you think about, let me ask you this question, because I've been thinking about this a lot. What do you think, because, you know, to be honest with you, you know, we got a bunch of receivers out now, and they work good, but they're, you know, they're closed source. You know, you can't do stuff to them. And I know why, but what do you think about open source software that you run on a STB? So, you know, kind of like a personal computer, it doesn't really matter the components. As long as they're compatible with the software, you know, you'll be able to run it. I'm just wondering, Michael, what you think about, you know, buying a satellite hardware and then just installing the OS on it yourself. What do you think of that?
I'd love to do something like that. Plus, that way you could play around with it more, even if it's just looks at the menus and stuff or whatever. Once you play around a little bit, like an SDK or something, and learn what you're doing, you can right on the fly just change a bunch of the way it looks, or way, you know, you want this screen to do this, or this button press to do that, and tailor it to your way you like it. That'd be awesome. But yeah, we know why they don't do it.
Well, no, it exists, and I didn't realize it. But apparently, and I should have pulled it up before I started talking about it, the actual program name, project, actually. But it actually exists where you can do that. Well, of course, you got Myth TV that will do it too, though. You know, if you want to do a Myth TV box, you know, with a satellite card and a over there, you know,
right,
card.
That's true.
Do that.
That's true. So,
and there's that other one, Sage, but I've never messed with that Sage. I think Scott has Sage, or used to have it. Have you ever messed with that?
I've not, no, but I've heard, or not heard, I've seen Scott post about it. I think it was, Scott was posting about it. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Also, what I'm thinking about it, for the C-banders out there, you know, the big useful dishes, if you want to call it, big ugly dish, whatever you want to call it. We don't call it ugly dish, but, on 101 West, there's a new movie channel that's on. It was kind of hush-hush a little bit at first. It's called Movie with the exclamation mark after.
Movie? Is that the new one they're going to be putting on over the air in select cities?
Right. Yeah, it was kind of hush-hush at first, but it's on links that now and everything like that, so it's kind of open about it. And if you hadn't heard about it or seen, you know, seen it yet or whatever, you can go to Satellite Guys and go to the free air forums, and they're talking about it. You can see what the, I don't have the frequency right in mind, that's a 101 West, but and that way you can punch it in, or you should be able to scan it in. It scanned in on mine, but I did punch it in too. I punched it in at first, then I got to look and I was like, man, I got all kinds of junk on this on my 101, you know, so I just went and erased all the transponders and did a fresh rescan on it because I hadn't rescanned it in a while, and it popped right in.
Yeah, it's 101-3961 vertical, and the symbol is 2734.
Yeah, that's real close to me, TV.
So how strong is that transponder? Can you get that with the mini dish is what I wonder.
I don't know. I know my 10-footer. I'm getting real good.
Oh, we got a caller here. Hold on 1 second. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air. Well, I don't know what's going on there. I guess so.
Push the wrong button one.
Well, I don't know.
Panel up.
Oh, well, pull it up and see. I think they should be on. But so what do you think? You think you can get that with a mini bud?
I don't know. I have not.
Because I know that KU side on that 101 bird is super strong. It's one of the, I mean, I want somebody, what's a stronger transponder than that Pentagon channel?
No, no. I think there is one on there. It has nothing free to air on it.
That's stronger than the Pentagon channel transponder?
Well, late 40s is what comes to mind or something like that.
Oh, maybe really? Okay.
Maybe that's a...
But I think that's a great transponder to hit if you've never lined up a dish. Just go for Pentagon Channel on 101 so you can build your confidence quickly so you don't get discouraged.
I know. Yeah, because it's even stronger than the ones on 97 West. You know, hey, I hit something, you know. That's the time everybody remembers when they first got it.
Yeah, you can hit that one easy with a dish 500 mod. Now, when it rains, it's not going to work, but in this... No rain, you're good to go.
Oh, yeah, when they had that one with the hotel mucks on there.
Oh, man, yes, sir.
I would get that off of one of those little small, remember the Dish 300s?
Yeah.
Kind of like an 18-inch, you know, like a little 18-inch direct TV dish, a little bitty thing, and I had it running off of that, just experimenting around before I set the C-band dish back up.
Yeah.
Our caller gone?
No, I just... So, hey, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. It's your resident, it's Dan.
Dan the man.
How are you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. Yeah. So tell me you've been able to pull in the movie channel on 101 C-band on your mini bud.
I'll give it a shot, but I highly doubt it.
Why is that?
I can only get 99. I've tried to get 103 and 101, but it's a far shot.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, those other ones are kind of hard to hit, though. I mean...
Oh, I wonder what the modulation is on this, or the FEC.
5.6.
Oh, well, yeah, that's... never mind. That might have been a good idea to look
at. I think we just answered our own question.
Yeah, probably.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, I got and Wally, I got a new picture, some more pictures posted. I just picked up a new dish today.
Yeah, what you got?
A Channel Master 1 meter.
Oh.
Where'd you get that at, Dan?
Just right down the road, about a mile from my house at a factory. The guy is not, his dad passed away and they weren't using it anymore and been sitting there for years, and I just went and checked up on it. I posted 2 pictures of it so you can see what it is online.
I'm just guessing. It's a Primestar. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Well, it says it's a Channel Master 1 meter, so it's not a Primestar. It was used for something else. It has a big sticker on it.
Yeah, they make
white?
Different ones.
Yeah, it's a white with a big, and you just check the forms. It's on there.
What size pole does it mount on?
A 2-inch. It looks to be a 2-inch.
Oh, you've not measured it. So I've got one out here. It's, I thought it was 2 3/8, but it's more like a 3-inch or something, one of the old Primestar Channel Masters. But I know you're using Primestar, but they made them, you know, because mine's Primestar, but... On the back, it's Channel Master dish. But yeah, that'd be good.
Hey, not to change the subject, but I want to get back to this. But got a question to ask. Another one for about the other day. I was working with my dish, and I had the PLL LNB on.
Yeah.
And I had it on Galaxy 19.
Yeah.
And it was. It wasn't going crazy. It was working just fine, but the receiver would only pick up only half my channels. It would scan double, and I had it set on 10.10750 frequency, but it didn't. There was no. I didn't put it on not a dual stack.
You didn't?
So, I did not. It's not on dual stacked, and it was scanning. It would come up, the Bosnian channel or something, and then it would scan it and do it again on horizontal and vertical.
Okay, so you scanned in the full 200 and something channels or whatever, but then it was doubling, so you get like 500 or so channels?
Yeah.
That's interesting. But something happened to something, the switch or something messed up somewhere, and it's not changing polarities.
Yeah, I bet it's a switch problem. Because when I had it, so I switched it to a 22 kilohertz switch, and I put my C band back up.
Yeah.
The micro bud.
Yeah.
And so it's been, and I only scanned the vertical ones because it's dual stacked.
Right.
So, but I took that off for temporary, so.
I found out what the dish was for there, Dan.
What was it?
It was for a subscription service for the delivery of real-time weather, agricultural, and commodity market information. At their peak, they had 120,000 subscribers.
Okay. Well, he used to use that for the weather. They used to own a track, a racetrack.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yep.
And they were just getting rid of it. And I seen it from the road, and I was like, hot dog, I got to see this. And
yeah, they switched it over to the internet. That's what it is now.
Okay.
So they don't use satellite anymore.
But do you think it's a pretty good deal? It's a little bit beat up, but not much.
Looks fine to me.
Make sure you check your reflector and stuff and do the crosshairs and check on it, the string check and all that. You should be good to go, though.
And see if it's not warped.
Right.
What'd you say?
Yeah, that can make all kinds of problems if it's warped, or especially if it's warped real bad.
Yeah, if it's warped, take it to the dumpster and throw it away.
Well, if it's not real bad, you can fix it. But if it's real bad, I wouldn't fool with it.
It's fiberglass.
Yeah.
That's why I said if it's you can actually heat it up in the sun and put some bungee cords on it and try to hold it. That's a whole different thing to talk about, but hey, I got to worry.
Oh, jeez.
Well, Dan, we're going to have to let you step back because it's time for trivia.
No, trivia? Okay.
It's time again for Dumb Satellite Trivia.
I still don't understand. Even on the second take there, Michael, we still didn't get stupid trivia in there. I guess I had to compromise for dumb. Is that the case?
I reckon.
Okay.
Actually, when I had that done, I couldn't remember if you said stupid or dumb. And I just had a 50-50 shot, and I lost.
Okay, so here is the trivia question. It's really easy, I think. Well, maybe not. Maybe because I'm looking at the book. Anyways, the most common cause of weak signals, that is the question.
Weak signals for what?
The most common cause for weak signals, of course, on the satellite.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter if it's KU, KA, or C. Or I would say any parabolic type antenna.
Well, I decided to call in. I have the answer to that.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
Call in if you got the answer. We'd like to talk to you and see maybe if you know. So I'm going to have to check out this movie channel. And so have you turned your dish over there? Mine's manual right now, so I don't have an actuator on it. But
yeah,
I know you got an actuator.
I watched a whole lot of it, but I turned it over there.
I can't remember. I was listening to Mike Cole, and he was going on about what libraries it was. I can't remember if it was MGM or what it was.
Yeah.
So
I don't remember. That's just something I didn't have on my notes here. I just happened to hit and I thought, I thought of something to, you know. But I don't remember what it was, but it's there's a couple discussions on it in the free air section on Satellite Guys. And I'm sure you could Google it. It's movies with a question mark. with an exclamation mark after it, kind of like Yahoo. And I know when I had it on this morning, playing in the background, I had the volume kind of down, but every show that came on was older shows from like the 60s and stuff. Peter Fonda show, the movie came on, Fighting Mad, and that's been years since I've seen that. And the one where he's on the motorcycle, I've seen that, I think. And some other movie was on those old, you know, older movies.
Yeah, I think it might be Fox, actually. Yeah, it is Fox. Yep, premieres a 24-hour all-movie network called Movies to run on 17 of its locally owned stations. Huh. Well, that's cool. And that's nice that it's on 101, though.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it's in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philly, Austin, Texas, Boston, and Minneapolis. So
that's nice to have it there, because I don't get to over there. Here is real hard to get because they're so far away.
You know, I didn't realize that, and I always was smart and just said, "Why don't you just use an antenna?" And a lot of people are like, "We can't use an antenna."
Yeah.
So it's nice that it's up there.
Yeah, I get about 5 or 6 channels with a decent antenna throwed up, but they're, you know, come and go. And
so what's a decent antenna? You think you just threw up?
Yeah, I really put a good antenna way up on a tower and stuff, you know, or up on a hill somewhere. I was running some kind of fiber optic run to come down to it or something. But where I'm at, it's just, I'm so far away, you know, from everything. Mountains all surrounding me here, and there's only one little TV station in town. There's no, you know, big networks or anything.
Yeah, is that an affiliate, or is it just like a,
their own little thing. It's documentaries all day and stuff like that.
Rural North Carolina network during the day and home shopping at night. Is that the kind of
thing? Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. It's their own, you know, unaffiliated with anything, I don't reckon. I get some good stuff on it sometimes. But
you know, I got to tell you something that aggravates me that one company does on G19, and it's QVC. They use their HD feed, and it's not HD, and it drives me crazy.
You must be OCD.
I must be, but, I mean, you go to it, you look at it, and it says HD, and you're like, no, this is not HD. This is strict
television.
But I haven't checked out their standard. That's one of the only one, and the one is on the one analog, too, I think. What is it, Home Shopping Network and QVC? And maybe NBC or something?
I don't remember which one it is. I ain't had analog set up for so long.
Oh, man, see, that's the... If you got an old dish that's busted up and you don't know if it works, that's the coolest way, or I wouldn't say coolest, but a cool way to line up the dish is to, you know, go for one of the analog channels, like Shepherd's Channel or one of those.
Yeah.
Type deals. Oh,
yeah,
hold on. I think Dan dropped off and called back in.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
That's Dan.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, you guys. Hi there.
Yeah.
You guys hit the mute button on accident. I'm saying, hey, hello, and. Yeah.
Hello.
Can
you hear us?
Because you did the trivia, and you hit the. Yeah, I'm back in, but you hit the mute button and didn't take it off.
Well, do you have the answer for the trivia question?
What was, I would say, wiring. Wiring, RG6.
Sorry, Charlie, that's incorrect.
Oh.
At least in the book that I'm reading, that it's coming out of. So if someone wants a question, I can tell them to just question the author, because I didn't come up with it, I just read it.
I know what the answer is, though, and I agree with it, too. I could say, and I agree with the point of it, anyway. But, no, wiring can cause it, whatever. But
oh, wiring, especially with bad connectors? Woo!
Oh, yeah. Definitely. But usually it's get water in, or it's corroded up, and it's in or out. You know.
Yeah. I've seen some people test LMBFs. I can't remember where I saw, but they were testing LMBFs in water, like ice cold water. And then to see if, because some of them say they're waterproof, and they were, you know, doing that to see if they actually worked. And apparently they did after they did it.
Yeah.
You guys, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. My mom called.
Uh-oh. You're in trouble, Dan.
Oh, no.
She's going to take away your free-to-air, man. What are you going to do? You're going to flip out.
Oh, I know. Well, she'll miss her cozy TV.
You don't get that on and, cable.
Yeah. She made a good joke about the cozy TV with 103 West.
What's that?
Because the skew is so bad, it's at a 45-degree angle, it's cozy. It's laying down.
I guess.
Well, look at it. She actually made a good point.
Yeah, it's kind of reclining.
It's like so it's a 42-degree angle, so it's a cozy TV.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But what were you guys talking about?
That's a good question. What I want to talk about is some IPTV stuff. Is it?
Yeah, that's what I want to hear about.
Yeah. Any you two either mess with any IPTV at all?
Is that the internet?
So basically. Well, not. It doesn't have to be over the internet. It can just be watching a video stream over a physical layer that transports packets, IP packets.
Yeah, it can be on your home server.
So it could be just in your house.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh. Okay. Well, the one thing with that is, if you have your TV hooked up to the internet, then you're telling people what you're watching. In a way, if you think about it.
It's
like
the
Nielsen ratings, they're like TiVo, it's progressing towards people knowing what you're watching in your own home.
Yeah.
I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
That doesn't really bother me.
I don't.
But still.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a bad idea. It's just that, or I like watching TV or the internet when I'm at the college, but I don't have the internet at the house. So it saves on a bill, and personally, I'd rather go out and fix something if something goes wrong instead of waiting on somebody to go and fix it for me.
Now I know why you call in every week and listen over the phone. I didn't know you didn't have internet at the house.
Yeah, that's why I go to the college.
You can't steal internet from any of the neighbors? Borrow.
There you go.
No, I watch, I just watch my normal over-the-air programming and my satellite dish. And I live close to town, but I live in low-income housing where very few people have internet.
Got you.
So I go over to the college because it saves on money. Why pay $45 a month for internet when you're barely even on it? So if you're not using it, why are you paying for it?
That's true.
Yeah.
So
crazy though. It does suck.
Unlike Jack Benny, be really cheap.
Yeah.
So, but. I think it's not a bad idea, but my friends, my coworkers are into it, but I tell you, I'd rather go out and fix it if something goes wrong. It's just like having cable TV. You just got to wait for them to fix it.
Oh, you mean if the internet goes out?
Yeah. If the internet goes out with your cable or your phone company, you're out of luck. You're on your own. But if my satellite dish gets knocked out of alignment, I can go walk right out there and fix it myself. Or I can change to a different satellite, or I can turn into my TVT antenna and watch it, what's on there.
What are you going to do if on the 4th of July some kids put fireworks on the LMBF and blow it up, though?
Well, I can go out there and fix it. I got more equipment.
Well, I watch too much PTV, Dave.
Yeah, I watch too much.
So even though Dan doesn't like the IPTV deal, but let me go into a little bit of detail on it here. One thing that I've noticed that's really cool over in Europe, because you know they use the DVB T2, is they have these little adapters that are kind of like the hotspots we have here for internet,
and
it's got an antenna on it. And then basically what it does is it multicasts all the streams out to whatever device connects to it via Wi-Fi. So basically you connect to the device via Wi-Fi, and then it has multi-streams that you watch to look at all the local channels. But, of course, you know, we don't have it here because we don't use DVB T2. But that's one cool thing. And what I don't know that I want to try to find out is on the DirecTV, how they stream to all their deals. Those have got to be a multicast. And it's only a matter of time until, I guess, Dish launches their version. And then, you know, somebody's going to hook Wireshark or something up to it and, you know, see what kind of, you know, packet it is. And, you know, we'll probably be able to watch that kind of stuff in our houses from all our devices. And I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's, I think, kind of what they're doing, you know, just, to me, they've, I mean, their own version of it, but they've married the DirecTV with their Roku, you know.
Well,
it's like a PlayStation.
I think
you can watch
Dish is the one that got in with the Roku.
The what, man?
I think Dish Network is the one that started using Roku.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, their own version of it, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so
like,
I don't... But so now there's some, you know, IPTV stuff on satellite, but now it's not like just hooking up your receiver. You gotta, you know, basically capture the packets and then run it through a program that Rick's got on his website that then recompiles the packets so you can watch them in a VLC. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not real time, but that may get more prevalent as time goes on.
Now, is that what you're really talking about, or?
Yeah, I think it's called IP Cleaner, if I remember correctly. And I haven't had time. I've been playing with this new USB, you know, tuner box, and you know, I haven't had a chance to try that program yet. I've just been playing around with a TS reader.
What was it you telling me the other day? And everybody listening to me and Dave, I don't think a day goes by we don't talk. We're always in touch with each other all the time. But are you going to run a fiber optic cable and put a bunch of feeds on it? Or
Well, hold on. Let me. I went to Rick's website, right, and it's an IPTV feeds, and it's called IP Cleaner Software. And this is the program you use. Now, it's all. You know, the way I like it, it's all command line. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Okay, anyway, sorry. I was reading an email there. So this fiber deal, so I got this new box. I don't have the transmitter yet, but it's coming. But I got the receiver, and basically what it is it basically runs over one strand of fiber, and it basically is a mux for five different satellite ports. They all run at different wavelengths. So it's way cool. So basically what I'm going to be able to do is I'm going to be able to replace 10 RG6 cables with just one strand of fiber. And I'm not talking high-dollar expensive fiber. I'm talking cheap plastic, bought it off Amazon fiber, you know, for $20-$30. And you know, so it's going to be kind of a cool project because I'm going to actually, you know, band stack the LMBFs before I send them over the fiber line, because it's only got 5 ports. So if I band stack them, you know, and then unband stack them after I take them out on the other side of the fiber, I'll really be able to get, you know, horizontal and vertical for all 5, you know, satellites that I'm pointed at. Or I guess I could mix and match, though, too, couldn't I?
Yeah, I got a question with that.
What's that?
Yeah, I got question with that. Isn't that like the what DirecTV uses for their swim technology? It's the same idea, just using fiber optic, pretty much.
Dan, is what they use a lot of times at like apartment complexes too, where like the buildings are real far away. And where coax won't work, and they'll send over all the satellites from DirecTV on fiber, and then, you know, put them into multi-switches and, you know, distribute them into the units over there so they can have, you know, just one centralized location for the dishes.
I didn't know that.
So what you got to do, Dave, is to say you got at your house and say you're dish farm is 200 feet away from your house. I'm going to get this in my head. You're going to have, you know, 5-10 dishes, whatever. You run into the transmitter, and it goes down the fiber and the receiver, you know, demultiplexes everything. Now, so you got to run a fiber line. I guess you'll have to run some kind of power line, too. So all you got to do is bury a fiber line and feed power out to it, too.
Yeah, no, so here's what I got going on. Here's what I got going on. So I've got a detached garage to my house. And so basically I've got power over there. And when I first moved in, I was so excited. I dug up a trench in the backyard and ran conduit between the back garage and the house. So I've actually already got the fiber ran. So I'm going to have the transmitter mounted on the wall in the garage. And then I'll have all the runs from the different dishes coming into the garage that are then going to, you know, hook up to the transmitter, and then that's going to mux it all together and then send it over that fiber. And then in the basement, I've got, you know, a 2x2 board, you know, that I mounted to the wall, and you know, where I got like my cable modem and, you know, VoIP adapter and whatnot, Wi-Fi adapter. I'll mount it right on there. And so it should really cut down on, I mean, because, you know, to get rid of 5 RG6 cables, you know, right off the bat, but then if you band stack it to be able to get rid of 10, you know, I would never be able to do that. I can't run 10 RG6 cables from my back garage to my basement.
Wow.
I'm pretty excited about it. I'm pretty excited. I think it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I like that idea. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, but so also on the one I got, it does cable. So it does, I think, like 50 to like 860 megahertz range. So like in your situation, if you had a big hill or a big mountain and, you know, it's on your property, you could, you know, you could run fiber all the way up to the top and get a you know, heated and, you know, tempered controlled box, build one pretty cheap, know, and send that. And it's all DC. So, I mean, you know, you could just run interduct or something like that, bury interduct, or just leave it above the ground, run the fiber and the red and the black wire to give it power, and bam, or you could even run Cat 5 and just do power over Ethernet. Probably do that. Would work too.
Probably could. I'd run, if I was going to do that, though, a really long distance, I'd run AC up to it and have a power supply. Because
trying
to run DC that far, you know, you have so much voltage drop. I'd run AC up there and then have a power supply. If I had to modify the power supply,
I guess it just depends how far it would be. Yeah, that's probably a good point. I wonder how far you could go about maybe. I wonder what the maximum. Well, I guess I'm not good with math, so I guess it would be the voltage or something times the length, or how, I don't know.
Yeah, it depends how much voltage you're running. I mean, I've had repeater systems I've built and put above the house, way up on the mountain of the house, and I run AC up to it.
How far was that, though?
I was like 1,000 foot. What a little over 1,000 foot.
10-2 or 12-2 or 14-2 or what?
I was actually using 14 gauge wire, but I had built my own power supply.
Would you splice every 100 foot?
Yeah, something like that, every 250 foot.
Oh, yeah, they got those spools at 250 foot. So was it the outdoor?
Spools, but yeah. You can get bigger spools, but yeah, the regular spools you grab is 250 foot spools. I spliced another 250 foot, and it was 14-3. It gave me four conductors. I was using the ground, too, as a conductor, and then run it up there. But I built my own power supplies. So that I was feeding, you know, because you got a lot of AC voltage drop too.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to be obnoxious. I said, is that why it stopped working? Because you built it and it blew up?
No, I moved and I have not really set it back up since then. But here I don't really need to do that. But there I had it. And I ramped up the AC voltage. I ramped the 110 up, you know, the 120. Wild socket voltage going up there, so it was higher voltage. So, time it got there, you know, just kind of, you know, like a power company does. And so, I had plenty of voltage to step back down and then run through a power supply to get the 12 volts I need to run everything. But it 13.8 volts, whatever. But it worked pretty good. But yeah,
was that one of those repeaters that you just had two radios and you had the repeater cable running between them?
No, it was a full-blown repeater, man.
Oh, so you had the receiver, and then that went into the repeater, and then you had the...
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, because I know that one guy on Sad Talk that calls in, Ed, he's got 110 up to his dish. His dish is crazy looking, though.
Yeah. There's all kinds of ways to do stuff like that. People just don't... You know, if you got electronics background, electrical background, know how things work, you can put down design and stuff and make them pretty simple on power supplies and stepping up and down voltages and stuff like that. Pretty neat.
Yep. Yeah, just to step down, I guess the easiest thing is you just get a transformer, right? You go from 110 straight down.
I had to wind my own transformer on one of them.
Did you really?
It wasn't that bad. I mean, I took a transformer and unwound it and then rewound it and kept testing it until I got the number of winds I need, you know, to get the voltage I wanted. And it's a pain in the butt, but get some enamel coated wire and go to town with it. And I did it all by hand. But it worked. It was a cumbersome looking mess, but it was hidden in a cabinet, so when I came on to see the repeater, they didn't see the mess, but it worked.
Nice. Was that on VHF or UHF?
Yeah, VHF. Actually, I started off on 2 meters and 440 repeaters. So,
you a rogue repeater, or were you actually with a coordinator, or would you rather not comment on that?
I don't care. The 2 meter. I don't know if you want to call it rogue. That'd be giving me a whole different. I can get on my soapbox with that coordination stuff, but. All it is you pass a little bit of money to the right person and, you know, you coordinate. That's all it boils down to. But VHF, I tried to get coordinated, and they kept blackballing me because, we got too many frequencies, which is true. They got so many repeaters, you such small bandwidth. But then the next guy down the road, he gets one next guy, but, you know, they shove over some money and they get what they want. But now, the 440 was coordinated because, we got plenty of room for that.
Oh, yeah, they in Kentucky, I couldn't get on 2 meter if I wanted the same thing, but, 70 centimeter, no problem, man, 440, no problem. That, up in Cincinnati, you know, in Indy, they have a major problem where they've got two clubs on the same Frank that mess with each other, and, you know, that's a good over 100 miles, so that VHF is prime beachfront amateur repeater property.
Yeah, I mean, we're down here too. We're in the mountains, so everybody puts their repeaters up on the mountain. And you got
have
so
you ever
coverage.
Done any 6 meter action?
Oh yeah.
That goes airplane. Pretty far.
Yeah, on top the ductings, right? I like 6 meters because it's usually pretty local, because it's, you know, the bottom end of VHF. But
yep.
When the band opens up, you can really get out of there. Or 2 meters too. I remember one night I was up like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I just happened to be on, I think it's 520, you know, the simplex frequency, national simplex frequency. No, I wasn't. I was on a repeater frequency, local repeater frequency. And all of a sudden, I hear these people talking, and I hear a weird, you know, courtesy tone, a bloop or something. I was like, what the heck is that? And I got the, I said, 2 meters is open. And so I started turning around, and I mean, Samplex was wide open. Next thing, I was up at 4 o'clock in the morning talking to Texas and California and everything, and on 2 meters, you know, it'll be cheap antenna, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 25 watts. And all of a sudden, it died as fast as it came in, just, it was gone.
Yeah,
I've seen it open before, but that was I'm thinking that was about 95, 96.
I am dying to hit the satellite talk to somebody sometime. I haven't tried it, so I don't know how I'm dying.
I've done that a couple times.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Really? I'm what, like AO51 or what?
I don't remember which one it was, but...
You know,
just right, you can do a really homemade setup, and you've got a real small window, like a 30-second window, though.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think AO51 is gone now.
Yeah, it might be, because they're low orbit. They crash pretty quick. But if you can do a real quick, cheap setup, and I had actually Handy Talkie run through this at the time, because it was easy mobile when you run out in the middle of the yard, and you got a real short window, because I didn't have, you know, dish that's tracking, you know, with the as and L and all that, tracking it, but
database error on AMSAT. Darn it. Shows you on AMSAT's website, AMSAT.org, if you go to the stat status, you know, for satellite status, because my Kentucky accent's in there, it's giving you a database error, an SQL error, so you can't see the status of all the different satellites.
I wonder where you're getting that.
I don't know. Hey, Dan, you still there?
One.
Uh-oh, Dan's in trouble with his mom. You hear him yelling
at him? He's going to find his mom. He don't have internet, but he's got two phones.
No, I think she's in the room.
Yeah,
when he comes back, I was going to tell him he needs to go take his amateur radio test, and if he does, I got to... A 2 meter handheld. I'll just send him.
Like my study.
Oh, he's not. He's not listening to us.
No,
oh
I'm
well.
Still here.
Oh, did you hear me, Dan?
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, I'm still here.
You going? Did
I'm
you hear what
about
I?
That. What'd you say?
I said you ought to go take your amateur radio test. Your tech.
Well, I was going to take it last December and. I went through all the classes, but the last week was I started my new job at Pizza Hut. So I couldn't, it was the days that I was working, so I couldn't take my test.
Oh, really?
They don't do it every weekend?
I have to contact the local ham radio club and talk to them. They meet every fourth Wednesday. The 101 Lakes amateur, the ham radio club.
Right.
So if you see them on the AERL website, just look up Angola, Indiana.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't just go late one night just tell them, you know, do something, disappear, because it won't take long. It's about an hour.
Yeah.
It's worth taking.
I asked him, I said, do I get my money back if I fail?
No. Do you what?
No.
Do I get my money back if I fail?
Nope.
No.
I was like, there should be a refund. If you fail, you should get it back.
Why are you negative, Dan? Why are you even thinking you're going to fail? If I can pass it, you can pass it, Dan.
Come on. I still want to get into
it's
the
multiple choice, Dan. Multiple choice.
Yeah, and when I took mine, it had been 20-some years ago, it was...
Yeah, we know. You had to do the Morse code. Uh-huh, yeah, we know.
No, I said there was no multiple choice. Yeah, I had to do Morse code. I had to do 20-word-minute code, and that wasn't multiple choice either.
Yeah, now, Dan, there's this website. I can't remember. There's several. And you can just go and take the test repeatedly. And it's like there's only like 400 or 500 questions in the bank.
Yeah, QRZ.com.
There you go.
QRZ.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go over there to the university, sit down, and just practice a lot, and go take it. I got a 2-meter radio I'll give you. I'll send you if you go past and you get on the local repeater there.
Okay. If he was around here, I'd give you a test. Well, me and two other VECs. I'm a VEC, so I might as well give a test. Gonna have two other extras, but I'd give you a test.
There was a guy in the ham radio club called Old Charlie, and he was obsessed with making antennas. And he says I could, and they mentioned in the rule book about classes. They said, like, what's your situation in your apartment complex where they ban everything? That just makes it even easier for us because you get more creative on your antennas and what you can hide them in and what you can put them in. You could wrap it all around your living room if you wanted to.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you need to go take the test, man. You'll love that.
I just like to see my apartment manager walk in and just say, what is this? And say, well, it's my antenna. You guys blocked it from the outside, but he didn't block it on the inside.
And then say, go hold it for 5 minutes and see what happens, and smile at them and see what they do.
But I want to get into the 2-meter, like the 2-meter stuff, but I haven't been back because I've been also working and my mom's been sick, so I've been taking care of her, so that's why
take care of that.
Yeah. Long story about that. But
hey,
that's
Dan,
why
you question. I'm just curious, how old are you, Dan?
I just turned 31 a few days ago.
Okay. I was trying to figure out. Sometimes you can tell by voice, sometimes you can't if you was like 18, 19, 20, or if you're 30, if you're 40. Or 80,
what Michael's trying to say is he's nosy. He wants to know some stuff. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
He's going to get mad. He just said that. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's all right. I live at home and help take care of my mom, so
I wasn't thinking about that. I was just asking how old you were.
I work on the stuff because it's close to the house. I can, it's something I'm into, and I could have my mom yell at me and just say, are you, she yells at me and says, are you ever done with this stuff? I'm getting cold. And I was like, oh, all right. And, but I was like, you can sit there and watch the TV. And so.
That's the same thing being made.
No?
Same thing as being married to.
Oh, great.
The lady wants to yell at you about everything.
I'm going to stay single.
I don't blame you.
Then I'm going to keep all my stuff and not end up with half of it.
I don't know. My wife's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah, I got a pretty good wife, too. But.
Well, anyways, Dan, we're going to say goodnight. We got a minute left, and we'll talk to you next week. All right, bud?
All right. You guys have a nice week, man.
You too, man.
Hey, goodbye.
All right. Talk to you later.
Mm. Okay. So I remind everybody that next week won't be here Wednesday. We'll be here Friday at 8 p.m.
Hey, now, on that show, are we going to be able to do like they did on Friday Night Live, put on another coffee pot, and do like a marathon session, or is it only going to be an hour?
It's only going to be an hour, and we'll have to.
Boo.
Well, it'd be nice if we stopped it at 9, because after that would be the rock show.
Oh, is there another show on?
Yeah. The Rock Show comes out at 9 o'clock. It was Sunday night, and Eurosport moved it to Friday night because of his schedule.
I already talked to him about it.
And he said, that's fine and stuff. And so.
Well, that's what we'll do then.
So we'll just have a, we'll have to make sure we cut it off. And, of course, he was joking and said, I'll just cut you off if you. And he said, no, not really. So I'll let you go. And then as soon as you're, if you want to go an hour and a half or whatever, but as soon as you're done, I'll start with the show. But if I tell me, I will try to keep it around 9-ish, you know, and we won't. If we can, we'll end the show at 8:55 or something. You know, give him time to get his show started up.
But, well, everybody, have a good night. Appreciate you listening. And go check out Sat Talk Live. They got video. One of these days, we will get some video going on. We're still pretty choppy right now, but once we get better at doing this, we'll get some video going. We're just having a good time, so I hope everyone's
doing. And thanks everybody for joining in. And Dave, hit the out button.
I know, I'm looking for it. That's why I kept talking.
I know. I don't know why it went down to the bottom.
Is it all the way at the bottom?
I had it at the top.
Well, where is it? Oh, my gosh. Disaster strike. I think you deleted it.
No, I didn't. Hang
on. Outro. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Picture Perfect Prospect, Kentucky.
Excuse me, sir. The show's over.
Thank you. And good night.
Thanks to all that tuned in tonight. Join those crazy satellite guys, Michael and Dave, next week for another exciting episode of Satellite Nation.
Bye-bye. I want to see motion and movement. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay? Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.